Come on up, people who are in the back there. There's plenty of room alongside the tables. We've got more room up here. If you'd like to join in, you can sit here. We don't bite, honestly. Or at least most of us don't, anyway.
All right, folks. I think it's about time that we rejoin here and get started. So we have our panelists ready. And let me go turn it over to Jacques, who's going to moderate our next panel.
Hello. I think we have five or six space up still available up front, so it's probably a good idea to move closer. Welcome. I'm Jacques Latour, and today we have a panel. It's a panel of two on DNSSEC on the edge. We're not specifying on the edge of what, but it's on the edge. I guess one of the big reasons we're here today is for .ca, we have a lot of issues in getting signed delegation. We have about 100 signed domains for .ca. We spent a lot of work building EPP for DNSSEC. We did a lot of work with the registrar to get them to do DNSSEC, and it's not moving. There's no traction. And the idea is to try something new to get DNSSEC adopted with .ca. And so we started to talk about that at various panels at the IETF in Hawaii. And I think this is a result of the work we've done so far. And so today we got Olafur with Cloudflare, and then he's going to talk about signing at scale on the edge.
Thank you, Jacques. I'm Olafur Guimason. I work for a little content delivery network. We have a few million customers, zones that we operate for them. And we are going to be rolling out DNSSEC to most, if not all of them, in the next few months. Next slide, please. We have data centers all over the world. We have thousands of servers. We have lots of DNS traffic. We don't answer most of it because it's attack. We have, for some reason, we are very popular with unpopular people. depending on what time of day it is, but roughly we answer about one in 100 packets we get. The rest is attack traffic that we drop. So this map that you see on the screen is shows our current network map plus minus 1 week or two. It will not be valid much longer because we are adding locations all over the world very fast. Our DNS infrastructure is, to a large extent, all built in-house. We have our own authoritative server. We have a proxy DNS service as well. And we distribute our data via a database replication mechanism to the edges. Things are changed fast. Answers are given out depending on where the questions are asked. And so distributing a signed answers to the edge for address records is a non-starter. Data changes frequently. We want to move it out. So we don't have a zone file. There are no zone files. In our infrastructure, we move it out to the edge. The edge servers decide based on various criteria what to answer. So it is not a traditional, we sign in central location and blah, blah, blah. We are different. Next slide. We are going to be enabling DNSSEC. Yesterday, California time, we announced that we are opening up our beta again for anybody who wants. So you can go in, you can send an email to an address that's in our blog. Because of I had to hand in these slides early, I did not get a chance to put the right address in there. And since then, we have been getting a flood of people asking to join our beta test. We didn't expect this many. We are getting hundreds of requests to join the program. So no matter what people say, there might be a demand for DNSSEC, especially if you don't have to do much yourself. So we are taking the work away from people as much as we can, and we're taking over everything. Because we are going so real soon, most TLDs will be enabled. We are going to roll this out slowly, not overnight. Some TLDs may get preferential treatment if we can inject DS records into them quickly. And we're talking to registries and registrars about that. And I'll get to that later. We, like Roland mentioned, earlier, we are very conscious about the size of our answers, both because of amplification attacks and also we just want to not send out extra crap. So we selected the elliptic curve algorithm, and the main reason we selected it was that we get small answers, but more importantly, we don't have to do key rollovers, and people whine about it. Because of the strength of the algorithm, the only reason we are ever going to do a key rollovers is because we think keys are compromised or we are switching algorithm. Everybody we sign gets the same key. We have a split DS, split zone signing key, and a key signing key for all customers, and the main reason for that is we are signing all the DNS key records in a central location, sending them out to the edges. Everything else is signed at the edge, so all our servers have a copy of the zone signing key. This is acceptable risk in our system because we own all the hardware, we control all the connections, and we harden our own hardware. Slide, please. Yep. The same thing. Our answers are like one quarter of what they are if we used the standard RSA setup like the IETF is using. We think this is a major advantage. That size matters, and also the speed. For us, elliptic curve is faster. Validation a little bit more painful for validators, but compared to network delays, we theorize it's not going to be a significant factor, and we hope to get an academic validation of our intuitions soon. Next slide. In the process, we decided to take a look at what is DNSSEC protocol doing and why is it doing it. If you get a negative answer from DNS, SEC assigned offline signed zones, you get two NSEC records most of the time, or you get three NSEC 3 records, depending on it. And each one of these is signed, and that is extra garbage. But because we are signing on the fly, we can custom tailor the negative answer to the question being asked. So if somebody asks for a name, we will give you a name that doesn't exist. We will give you a signed answer that the name exists, and there are only two different RR types that exist there, the RRSIG and NSEC, and we will give you a minimalistic answer of what the next name is. And if you happen to ask for the next name, we will drop it. Only one who walks, so we are totally preventing zone walking. We're giving out minimal answers. We are very interested in the work that is being done on figuring out if we can use NSEC records or NSEC 3 records during prefix floods to help resolvers stop, so we may give out wider ranges, but that is configurable, what we give out. We call this black lies. Some people don't like it because they don't get NX domain, but we tell you the rule of how to translate our answer into an NX domain locally. This makes the answers really small, and resolvers have to store less, and it works. But we have been doing this on a number of zones for 8 months, roughly. It works. Nobody has complained. Okay, when somebody asks for a type at a name that exists, but the type doesn't, as we are calculate this on the fly, we have to enumerate all the types that are there, and we realized we don't really need to do that. So we have the shotgun approach. We list all the types that we think are of interest to you, but we remove the ones you asked for if it doesn't exist. So, and if you ask for some other type, you will get a different NSEC record. Use lots of people. But basically, we are telling you at the time you asked the question, this answer did not exist on that. But when you ask for some other type, suddenly, it might but theoretically exist. No, it's a lie, but it works. Next one. Online signing. People have not wanted to do that. We are answering scale. We are answering thousands and thousands of questions or tens of thousands of questions from each one of our servers. In our first implementation, we had some code in there that said we're only going to generate so many questions per second with answers. Then we had one of our coworker. He sat down, did a little bit of optimization on the code. Right now, we have ripped out all the code that does checks on throttling. We can. It is cheaper to sign than it is to compress the names. So that might be my next evil idea. So by cutting down the NSSEC records we send out, that helps a lot. We reuse the signed SOAs, which we have to put in the negative answers. So that is, and so for every question we get, we answer it. We also have done another little hack is that when somebody asks for any, we only give them one record. Next. And the key distributions, go back. Like I mentioned before, we control everything. We have a secure boot. We have secure software distributions. We trust our servers. Therefore, we have no problem distributing this key to them. And it doesn't make it any less safe that we have only one key on for all the DNS server zones, because somebody opens up, steals one of our servers and keeps the power on and reads the key out of the memory. It doesn't matter whether it's one key or 1,000 keys. They're all gone. One. We needed to address a number of things that normal operations don't necessarily do, or additionally is probably a better word than normal. We have a central signer for all the key records. We sign DNS key regularly. We also publish CDS or CDNS key records for every zone that is DNSSEC signed, and we are going to doing that to allow uptake by registries, registrars, and others of the signed zones. We had to change most of our production system in one way or the other to support DNSSEC. This did not just involve doing the UI. We had to change how we distributed data to the edges. We had to change our databases. We had to create a systems of monitoring the health of our clients, because we want to notice if the zones are validatable, if the DSs have been uploaded correctly, etc., etc. So we want this to work, and if something goes wrong, we will try to take whatever action is possible to fix things without involving the customer. Because when the customer is involved, that is a delay and very likely not going to happen. We are going to be supporting TLSA for all our zones. Right now, we are not able to do that, but that will be coming early next year. So every DNSSEC signed zone will have TLSA records for them. We really, really would like to take the customer out of the equation of uploading DS records. Right now, this is the biggest frustration that people have. We tell them, go to your registrar, upload it, and A, we want like to be if information to the customer of what to do. We have to know who the registrar is. Based on the who is information, we may have the accurate information, or we may not be able to get the information because we have been blocked by who is servers here and there. My best guess is we have 30% of our customers we know accurately who the registrar is, and even if we know the registrar, we may not know who is the reseller, which the customer is supposed to go to. Next slide. Yes, I am a DNS operator. According to the ICANN domain registration model, I don't exist. Yes. I do not exist according to ICANN. Yeah, the model assumes that the zones are operated by the registrant or registrar and reseller. There is no concept of a DNS operator. I have been a DNS operator for my friends for decades. Over a decade. Mark, hi. Mark Koster's down there, and I have shared supporting each other's zones for a long time. So, what our arrangement has been outside the registration model. So, I can't talk to registries, I can't talk to registrars without having access to the customer account. I don't want access to the customer account because the customer want to be able to, is afraid we might steal them. And we don't want to do that. So all we wanted to be able to do is to upload DS record. Okay?
Your DS keys
don't exist. For those offline, the monitoring here went offline. Back. We need an easy way to upload DS records. We saw these presentations from the TLDs earlier today of the abysmal numbers of DNSSEC validatable zones. All of the zones, let's say 99% of them that are DNSSEC signed, are parked at registry. I don't know how much traffic they get, but the inability to upload DSs is a real pain. It's not just having commercial entity the registrar needs to go to supporting DNSSEC. They also need to support the algorithm in use. We get so many reports that these interfaces allow algorithm up 8. They may allow some algorithm in the 250 range, but they don't allow the algorithm to be defined in the last 5 years. Because people assume nothing changes. They run old code, nothing changes. That's why the ICANN network here in this building does not support validation on the LFT curve. I've complained about this at every ICANN meeting I've gone to since I started working at Cloudflare. Every time I'm told it's going to be fixed. It hasn't been fixed because they use a 3-year-old release candidate as a name server validator here. Not a release. It's a release candidate. ICANN can't keep their stuff up to date. I don't know who can. So it's a long-term project of getting people to run modern stuff. The newer elliptic curves that are being proposed, I don't know how long it will take to get them supported in large numbers. Going through the exercises with the Canadians and a few other registries of how to do this, we have come up with a simple idea of how to upload it. Shaq will talk about it. The important things that come out of the DNSSEC, we are going to be placing CDS and CDNS keyed records for the registries, registrars, and resellers to pick up, and the customers can look at them. And I want to change the dialogue to say, if a zone publishes these records, it is a signal they want to be validatable. So it should be perfectly okay to pick it up and start security from there. So I will call this an opportunistic DNSSEC. And what we also discovered is the CDS, CDNS key records need a delete mode. There has to be a way to turn off DNSSEC. Customers may be moving from one operator to another. They don't like what they get or whatever. So there has to be a way to say, I don't want this anymore. And I have an internet draft out on that. Next slide. Oh, that's it. Okay, yes. I got more time than I expected, thanks to the editor, the panel. So what I want to say is you're going to see lots of signing on the edge by us. I hope others, delivery networks, will start coming and doing this. It is hard to build the systems. Once they are built, everything should just run. DNSSEC was designed in an era when everything was static. It supports that very well, so some innovative solutions were required to start supporting online signing on the fly. And tried not to break anything too much, but something will break always, or there are bugs. And I want to say that we found a bug in one of the testing tools last night. I talked to the maintainer here this morning, and it is already fixed. So things can get fixed, so please keep pushing, complaining to your providers to support the DNSSEC. There are going to be millions of ECC signed zones real soon.
Right, thanks.
A question? Question?
Sure, yeah.
I think you identified one of the challenges we've certainly seen with the rollout of these of the ECDSA and the other algorithms. I think one of the problems that we have as an industry we have to figure out how to help around is that we have a whole generation of software programmers who have learned through the security vulnerabilities that were out there that they needed to check bounds on lists. And so if you had a list of items, they needed to check bounds because otherwise, there'd be unbounded data and security, stuff would get in through problems and fields and things like this. Challenge is, and I think we're seeing this with registrars, is those developers are not updating their lists of bounds, when new things come along. So when, the ECDSA was finalized as a DNSSEC algorithm back in 2012, so 3 years ago, but some of the software is not updated to know that there's a new entry in the IANA registry for DNSSEC algorithms. To your point, as we get, ED, the new one, the number I can't ever remember, but the new curves that are out there, you know, as those get added as IANA algorithms, we're going to have the same kind of issue. That yes. Those will be on there, and we're going to, yet again, need to get the software updated to this algorithm. So I think the larger message to you, the folks who are doing software out there, you know, that relates to DNS and DNSSEC, is that we need to have people, you know, if they are going to do bounds checking, they need to update the lists of what they're checking on a regular basis, but then and then get that out in their software updates.
And this is a good comment. There, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. The software may be perfectly fine of accepting it, but there's a database behind it that it's driven from, and nobody checks. Okay, I basically blame myself for this situation because I should have designed the DS record to have only one field and encode everything into it and just give it out as a hex field rather than giving people an opportunity to check bounds.
For those not aware, Oliver was the author of the RFC that specifies the DS record, so that's why he's making that statement here.
Well, so, if I may, oh, you, go ahead.
So I have a question, and that is, what software supports CDS and CDS key right now?
Can I just remind people to state their names?
Oh, I'm Mark Costers.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
Palo Alto's. I can support part of that. I know that bind and unbound all support it. You might have to have a few compile flags to enable it specifically on older versions, because when they were a draft, usually they added with a --- enable option. But like the modern ones all support it. Like usually they're pretty good at implementing something that's an RFC. Like when it's a draft, they will have a special option, but when it's an RFC, they...
Yeah, Noct and PowerDNS also support it. I don't know. I think Nominum also supports it, but I don't know if Microsoft does.
Hi, Roy Adams for ICANN. It's just a clarification. Sorry, just a clarification question. Is it complete online signing or only the negative stuff? I missed it from the presentation.
Everything but DNS key and CDNS key.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mark wants to speak again.
Well, for can you sort of clarify the sort of the signing operations per second you can handle?
No. a lot. I have lots of servers. I'm not authorized to answer a question.
Erwin?
Erlensing.dk. Denmark, okay. We're a bit special and we don't follow ICANN, so we actually don't really have registrars, but we do have DNS operators. We're changing our system a little bit. There's other issues you're going to complain about. But from early next year, the DNS operators will be able to upload DS records directly to the registry.
Cool. Yeah, that's good.
Check.
Roy, last question? No?
All right.
Jacques,
well, I'll do my presentation, and then we can have more questions after.
Okay. I was just going to ask, Oliver, do you have a sense yet of how many of those registrars that you're interacting with will enable you to interact with them? Or is it just Jacques sitting next to you?
I'm a registry, not registry.
Registry. And, well, what's your sense? You know, you talked about you have this barrier of being able to interact with all your customers in there. Do you have a sense yet of what the size of that problem is? Or is it just everyone?
I will work with anyone.
Okay.
Stay tuned for the official announcement next month.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I'm Jacques. I'm with Dottier. And what I'll do is I'll go quickly through my presentation. And then we can have a discussion after that. So bootstrapping the DNSSEC chain of trust, that's the title of this. The idea is that today registrars for .ca don't do DNSSEC, though we have EPP, we have everything in place for them to support it. We have a real challenge in getting registrations done. We have about 100 signed delegation. It's pretty sad. It's even in the 0.005% range, so almost a divide by zero error. So... next slide. So this is an update from the last presentation. The link is there, and you can see the last PowerPoint deck. So it's just an incremental update. Next slide. So the picture here shows basically the ecosystem that we live in. We have .ca as a registry. We have registrars that have full EPP access to do whatever they want, but none of them support it, like I said. And then we have a registrant in here. And then sometimes a registrant, they use hosting provider, that may or may not be the DNS operator. Sometimes hosting provider outsource to content delivery network, and they're DNS operator. And in that model, everybody is far removed from the registrar. Today, the process is the registrant technically generates a DS or a DNS key, and then they push it down to the registrar, down to the registry, and then we put it in the zone, and the chain of trust is established. And that doesn't work today. So what we're working on is building an interface directly at the registry to enable the DNS operator to chain of trust initially and to ongoing management. So next slide. So the key, the whole process around creating the chain of trust the first time, it's a process of putting a DS and the TLD or the parent on the first time. So for .ca, the way we're looking at it is that we need to ensure proper or good hygiene for name servers. So the candidate, the DNS operator, signs a zone, they sign it properly, and then we make sure that over TCP and for each of the name servers that are in the RR set, that we can actually validate that the CDS, the DNS key, all the signature, the zone is signed across all name servers. So that the work of validating, of doing DNSSEC at the child is done properly across all name servers. So that's the bootstrap validation process. And the idea is that we generate the prop keys in the back to create the bootstrap. If the zone is not signed properly, then we're going to give a detailed message to the operator to say this is why it failed, so they can debug their own. The validation process is we, as a parent, pull the child and create the bootstrap from there. So the second part of this is once the operator signed the zone and it's actually properly signed and everything, then we need an intent. We have an API where the DNS operator goes to us.ca. They prove, they signal their intent to sign zone or to update a zone or to unsign a zone. And we do all of this by reading, interpreting, and managing how the CDS, CDNS key records are in place for a zone. And then that's about it. So for DNS operator, we have a RESTful API for large volume. And then for individual DNS operator, we have a web interface they can log in and initiate that process. And the parameters for this process, the validation, is a domain name. All they need to say is update whatever domain name, and then we go from there in the back, and then we do all the instruction. So when we started this, then we quickly discovered that we needed a way to unsecure a delegation, to remove a DS from the child, the parent. And so we looked at using the null CDS record for this. And so if it's signed, if it's the second the child is signed, the chain of trust is established, everything is done properly. If they tell us to go update their domain, we'll read the null CDS, we'll see that everything is good, then we'll remove the DS and unsign the delegation. Plus, other registry stuff, we'll send emails to all the contacts to tell them it's going to happen, and we may add some time delays to execute the transaction. The idea is that if we go from one operator that supports the NSSEC to another one that doesn't, we need to unsign his own. So this is the bootstrap. Once the domain is bootstrapped, and then the next thing we're going to do is maintenance. So automated DNSSEC maintenance. So we'll use the CDS, CDNS key. And if on a daily basis, we're going to pull the domain, check if there's changes, we need to do key rollover and all that, and then we'll read the CDS, CDNS key and do all the instructions that are in there. So once technically a domain bind, we talked to Bind and ISC and a couple of other people to automate this, to automate boot domain key rollover with a CDNS key. So technically a domain should be auto-managed from there. There's no need for manual process from a registrant or a DNS operator. Chain of trust should be established, managed, and rolled over when necessary. We're looking at policy. So we're going to, the way we do this is we create the DS and we put it in the zone, so we're in control of the algorithms, the keys, and everything that goes in there. We're looking at notifying a scheme to notify contacts. How often we need to notify registrants of DNSSEC activities, if we need to notify, they care, actually, and what they can do about it. And like I said, we control the DS format. And so this is the model of the system. So we have a DNS operator with low volume that can access our system through a web interface. They need to authenticate and prove that they are whoever they are. And then they go to the web interface, and all they do is put a domain name, enter, and that's it. No other information. And then our validation engine is going to go pull the domain, grab the DNS key, grab the CDS, everything. We generate a DS, and then we have EPP module to submit that in our registry automatically. The maintenance part is ongoing maintenance to update CDS, rollover, and all that on behalf of the DNS operator. And we have an API, RESTful interface, with some sort of authentication or an access list to make sure that it's controlled. And then that's about it. So the idea is that piece of code we're going to make open source should be reusable for registrars. So a registrar that wants to use this for the customer base, they can integrate their own EPP system and then potentially work back down to the registry. So the idea is to not have the registrant create a DS, copy the DS to a web interface with a registrar, having to deal with issues with algorithms that are not supported and all that, to remove the frustration. It's to automate the process, make it super easy for DNS operator to sign, have a good enough trust model to create the chain of trust, and to go from there. If a registrant or a DNS operator is not comfortable with this model, they can always use the registrar EPP interface through an authenticated account and follow the right process or a different process. So that's an alternative way of bootstrapping, plus a system to keep domains up to date. So right now we're working to write our code. I think we got a couple of sprints left to go. It's actually going well. We're going to do a pilot project with Cloudflare. So they got about 15,000.ca domain that we're going to run through this. And then we have an API that we can play with, prototype at, well, those are the URL. So not it. Oh, no. So we're working on building the framework. It's evolving. I think in the beginning we made it way more complex than it is now. Now it's more simple. There's been a lot of feedback, a lot of criticism, a lot of positive support, negative support. So we try to integrate everything to make this work. Talk with Bind and OpenNSSEC to have the CDS process work. The idea there is that if you want to sign your zone but not automatically delegate, then you sign it and you just have a DNS key record. If you sign and you want to delegate the zone, then you sign and you add the CDS record to match the DNS key. And that's the intent that we're trying to pose here to create the bootstrap for the first time. Obviously, we want to make all of this open source. We want as many registrars and registry to use this framework. We got a draft done yesterday about this, or day before. Wow. And Olafur is working with others and I on how to some sort of RDAP extension or framework to find a parental agent for a domain that the DNS operator knows where to go to initiate this process. Certainly so. I guess we'll have more to talk about that later on. I think I'm done now. Question?
I have a question, Chuck. It's Dan York. Thank you, Julie, for the reminder on the names. So how are you dealing with the authentication of the, you know, of who gets to make these updates directly into the registry database?
The framework's a bit different. It's not the who gets to make the update. If you sign your zone and it's properly signed and it's got a DNS key and a CDS, that means you want it delegated. So the API is there. Instead of us polling 2.5 million domains every day, we tells us, go pull this domain, and if it's all done properly, it gets delegated.
Okay, but I'm just wondering, I mean, if I'm an attacker and I decide to set up a site and I want to try to spoof your site, Can I, or spoof somebody's site? Can I, what's the protection of somebody putting bogus information into the registry through the API? How is it authenticated?
Well, the attacker needs to accomplish that they are not going to be picked up by any of Shaq's probes, because Shaq goes out and asks all the listed name servers, do you have the same information? Is it all matching? Do that from multiple locations. He can do it from here. So, yes, there is a lot worrying about this part is has kept us in the place we are in today.
Okay, well, I want this to succeed, but I'm just trying to – that's one of the issues that I've had raised could an attacker get in there, you know, and do that, even if it was more to deny – cause a problem and deny an issue. But I see Paul and Roland both wanting to say something. So,
yeah. One of the reasons, apart from the fact that there was this argument that people can get if you go through the EPP if you go outside the EPP channel, is of course that you have a separate channel to establish trust in the key, right? You have outside of the DNS, and now it's taken into the DNS also to do the bootstrapping. So it's in essence this trust on first use.
Yes.
Have you considered, because you have this API to start the polling, have you considered asking the person that requests the poll to include the key in that request? Because then you, again, bootstrap the trust through a separate channel where you the person says, poll me now, and this is the key I want you to poll me for. Have you considered that?
The answer is yes.
Okay. And why did you not do that?
Well, okay, so I'm Paul Wouters. So I helped a bit on the prototype implementation and the considerations for it. If you do anything that like the IEC DLV did, like adding a token to the zone to prove that you own the zone, you're not adding more proof than its CDS record.
No, that's not what I'm arguing. They have a separate system that you tell. Pull my zone. Yeah, that's a web API, or it's a web portal, or it's a RESTful API. That is a separate channel. If you submit the key in that channel, and then you have two sources of information, one is the DNS and one is that channel, and you combine the two and they match, then...
Okay. So that channel is not necessarily authenticated?
It isn't, but the same is true for...
No, because then you have the additional problem. Now the CA needs to get a million end-user credentials on their system to talk directly to... Like, you've just moved the problem. Now you have to prove that you're talking to the registrant or the DNS hoster that is responsible for running the registrant domain zone, and that's exactly the problem we're trying to avoid here, because that's what's not working.
So I run the registry. I got authoritative name servers listed for a domain, and if I can't trust those name servers in my registry that these are the guys running the domain, if they're compromised, and most likely if they're compromised, they're not going to assign the domain. They got other stuff to do.
They will also wait a couple of days, so they will probe over the course of a number of days. So it's not just like a quick takeover you need to do. You need to like keep a sustained attack on all name servers going from different views in the world.
Different AS.
So I mean, you get to that point in the attack, you basically own the domain already for all practical purposes.
I have a follow-up question to that, owning the domain, because one of the... one obvious attack vector is now that if I'm an operator and I want to lock somebody into me as an operator, I sign the domain and then I refuse to unsign it. Can registrants override the secure delegation through the registrar channel?
Manually, yeah.
Anything that comes through the registrar interface should override whatever automation.
Yeah.
Yaromir Tarir, Assisinik. We actually talked about it a little bit with our operational manager, and actually there is no demand from our DNS operators, surprisingly. However, we are developing an open source system thread that is used by 7 other countries. So we are thinking about this, maybe not for us, but maybe for other countries. And we have a slightly different or slightly specific data model in the registry that we have. Four kind of objects like domain, contact, name server set, and a key set. And the key set is a collection of DNS keys. And this key set can be attached to any domain. And all of these objects, they have their specific registrars. We are using this feature specifically for contacts, that our identity solution, there's a registrar that is allowed only register contacts. So no domains. And this is the same for name server set and key set. There can be registrars that can only register and maintain key sets and a name server set, which is something that may be the solution for this case, that Technically, we could offer the EPP access to our registry just to maintain the key sets and name server sets for DNS operators. And there is no problem with authentication. The registrant of the domain will decide to associate the key set and name server set of his domain to this registrar with this access, and the registrar can do updates in these objects, changing DNS keys regularly. So this may be another solution for the same problem, maybe, which you can think about, maybe.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
You're early, Jacques. You still have time.
So any other questions or issues?
Jacques, maybe... maybe you want to clarify what you do with the CD null record. There's also a way where you can where an operator like a big operator who wants to move away. So for instance, we know Cloudflare is running ECC, and if they would move a domain to another hoster that port ECC for DNSSEC, then the domain has to go insecure. So again, to go through the registry and getting this done is not an automated process. So the draft that we wrote actually introduces a null CD record that specifically instructs the registry to remove all CDS all DS records at the parent. And this record is a CDS record that's signed properly, so you know that the DNS hoster actually requests this.
Well, one of the big challenge with DNSSEC right now is doing a proper DNS operator transfer. And that's something we need to work on. Some domains, I imagine, will not be allowed to go unsecure on a transfer. And we have to find a way of doing this that's more automated. And in this model, having the EPP key relay process of transferring the key from one, the gaining registrar, to the losing, it doesn't work in this framework. So we'll have to do some serious thinking on how to do secure domain operator transfer. So, sure, what the solution is. If anybody's got some insight on that, that'd be useful.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Oliver. So now I believe, there he is, the star of the great DNS quiz, Roy Ahrens. Please, Roy, over to you.
There is a mic back over there behind Roland that you can use.
Does it work? It works. Is there a clicker? Oh, that's a clicker. So this was really a last-minute thing. While Julie puts the slides on, because we have a slacker in our midst, and won't say who. So what you will see is a
but
a
we're
bunch
all
of,
looking at him.
What you're about to see is basically a bunch of recycled questions that most of you have seen before and hopefully forgotten. So this is the great DNSSEC quiz. We've done these before many times. And the idea now is what I at least proposed to the group this morning. The idea now is that we keep on doing them, provided that you provide us with interesting questions that we can turn into a pub quiz. Okay, so in front of you, hopefully, or near you, you have the back of the form with 12 entries that you can fill out. So a pub quiz typically is something, a simple question with a multiple choice answer. Do we have more forms for the people in the back?
There were some. One was put down at every seat, so look around you.
Good question. The question is, if this is a pub quiz, where's the beer? That's question number 13. Okay, so there are 12 questions. Sometimes more than one answer is correct, and you get a point for each correct answer. So, for instance, if you have a question and A, B, and C is correct of this question, if you think that is correct, if these are indeed correct, you get 3 points for the question. So the maximum per question you can get is 4 points. If you have them all correct. Okay, put your name down on the form, please. You can work in groups as well. When I'm done with the quiz, please give your form to a neighbor or someone outside of your group who then can check the answers. After we check the answers, we're going to put the form back and we see who's the winner. Of course, the winner of this quiz has eternal recognition. Who remembers the last winner? Exactly. Okay, so there we go. Oh, sorry. And last thing, if you have a wrong answer, you get no points. It's not that you negative get points or lose points. You simply get no points. So, question number one. I'll do this fairly quick. I need to read off the screen. I'm sorry for that. Which top-level domain has the largest deployment of DNSSEC? Was it A, DE, B, SE, C, NL, or D, BR? And this is in absolute numbers. So not relative numbers, like how many percent per registration. In absolute numbers, who's the largest? Who has the largest deployment of DNSSEC? What I mean is the largest amount of signed delegations. Number two. Which of these top-level domains deploy DNSSEC? Is it A, AEC, B, TK, C, TV, or D, MX? Please don't use your laptop to find the answers. Thank you. Okay, next question. Which keys are mandatory in a DNSSEC signed zone? If you think this is complex, you better stop now. There will be more complex questions later. So is it A, the ZSK, B, the KSK, C, the CSK, or D, the ESK? So which keys are mandatory? Number four, what does the AD bit stand for in a response? Is it authenticated denial, anno domini, C, access denied, or D, authenticated? Question five, if I go too fast, put up your hand and I'll slow down a little bit. Five, what does the DO bit stand for in a DNS query? Is it DNSSEC off, DNSSEC on, DNSSEC out, or DNSSEC over? Sorry. Don't worry if you don't have this one. Number six, what does 257 or 257, which is an integer, indicate in a DNS key record? Is it A, this is a DNS zone key and secure entry point? Or is it B, this is a DNSSEC zone signing key? Or is it C, algorithm 257, which stands for RSA NSEC 3 SHA-1? Or is it D, CCL VII? Number seven, which of these four are valid DS algorithms? Is it A, SHA-1? B, SHA-256? C, SHA-384, or D, GOST R3411-94. Number eight, when was the root KSK rollover? When was the root KSK rollover? Was it July 2010? Was it January 2012? Was it C, it has never rolled? Or was it D, the KSK is rolled every 3 months? Nine, what does the CD bit stand for in a DNS query? Is that compact disk? Checking disabled? Cryptographic device? Or is it change directory? Question number 10. What does KSK stand for? Key signing key? A kill switch key? Key switch key? Or kappa sigma kappa? Should I shout it out? Kappa sigma kappa. Okay. 11. How many different root server addresses are there? Is it A, 12, B, 13, don't open your laptop. Is it C, 24, or is it D, 26? And the last one, which country, country code, top level domain, which country was the first to deploy DNSSEC? Sorry, this needs to say which country was the first to deploy DNSSEC. Was it A, Puerto Rico, B, Sweden, C, Denmark, or D, Germany? Okay, so again, make sure you've put your name on the form, right? Hand it out outside of your group or to your neighbor, so we can now go over the answers. So,
Roy.
I'll go, sorry.
Roy, Neil here. I have a question about the scoring scheme.
Oh, there you are, sorry. Yes.
What's... whether one can score more than 1 point for a given question.
Yes.
Ah.
Did I miss that in the beginning? Oh, okay.
It was a bit like the distinction between any and all.
Ah, yes. So I need some help with this. I'm going to go over the first question. So which top-level domain has the largest deployment of DNSSEC? If you know the answer, just scream out the number, not the name. Is it A, B, C, or D? Sorry, sorry. No, C and L. Sorry, I mean scream out letter. So if you have C, you get a point. You have a point. Question two: which of these top-level domains deploy DNSSEC? Is it A, Ecuador? Nope. Despite the fact that I have DNSS.EC, which spells DNSSEC, I still can get a signed delegation in .EC. Hopefully, you guys hear me well. If EC, if you need some help, I'm here. You can reach me at roy@dnssec.ec, unless it's, of course, spoofed. Sorry, is it A, EC, B, TK, C, TV, or DMX? Warren. Is EC signed? No, I know that. Is TK signed? .TV? Or .MX? Yes, .TV and .MX are signed. So C and D are both signed, A and B are not. If you have one right, you have 1 point. If you have two correct, you get 2 points. If you have one wrong, you don't get any point for that one wrong you have. So, yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, we have some hackers here. Okay, new rule. Sorry, new rule. If you have one wrong, you default on the question. You don't have any points, okay? Yeah. Otherwise, you could just fill out A, B, C, D every time. Okay, number three. Which keys are mandatory in a DNSSEC signed zone? Is it ZSK, KSK, CSK, or ESK?
Sorry, I object to the question.
Okay, wow. Oh, I love this. Let's go, honey.
It only requires a key. Like, it doesn't have to be a KSK or a ZSK, because that's a functionality. And a CSK is a combination of the two. And I don't know what an ESK is. But you just need a key. And it would be nice if you got a secure entry point. That, but even that's not really necessary.
Okay, so a key with a secure entry point bit set. How do you call that? It's a KSK, isn't it?
A key with a secure entry bit set.
Okay.
Right.
According to the RFC. Right.
Okay. If you have A, you get a point. Oh, sorry, there's a question? That's correct, but that's not actually here. So you're right. You need to publish the publish key, and you need to keep the private key private.
Right.
But if you have A, you're correct. Okay, I'll give you a point if you have B as well, and I'll give you a point if you have neither. Because every time I get into this discussion.
Right, the only right answer to this is none.
Yes,
that's the only right answer.
Let me guess, CSK, you have none, right?
CSK and KSK are roles, they are not keys.
Okay. Number four.
So what did you want us to do there, Roy? You want to give a point for A or a point for B?
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing, right? You need at least a key to sign. Is that correct? Okay. Here's my hopefully somewhat logical thinking behind this. You need at least a key, right? If you don't set a bit, a flag bit, the secure entry point bit in that key, right? To me, old-fashioned, right? Long before protocol lawyers got involved, I call that a ZSK, right? And you don't really need to have that bit set, the flag bit set, in order to sign the zone. But you need, it's mandatory to have at least a key. So I call that a ZSK. So I thought A was the correct answer.
Hey, Paul. Dude, you're getting in the way of us at lunch.
Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, thank you. Dan, you should do this.
So okay. What's this so scheme? But Paul and I are pointing out that Roy is wrong.
Okay.
What's the scheme?
Next one. What does the AD bit stand for in a response? We can debate question three afterwards. What does AD bit stand for in a response? Paul, what do you think?
Well, I again object to the question because the right answer isn't there.
Sorry, why do you object to the question? Sorry. Lunch is off.
The answer is authenticated data, which is not listed there.
Not true. That might be clarified in a later draft, but in the stuff that I wrote, it's authenticated. Okay, number five.
And there is one other very fundamental rule in the regard of a dispute.
Yeah.
The narrator is always right.
Yes, thank you. Okay, number five.
It was DNSSEC D over. In that last this, one, D.
Yeah, DNSSEC is over. I made a stupid mistake here this morning. In my rush, I should have entered DNSSEC okay, but it's not on the screen. It's so silly. So, the right answer is none. Sorry. I did mess it up, did I? Okay, so question number six. What does 257 indicate in a DNS key record? Is that A, a DNS zone key and secure entry point? Or B, DNSSEC zone signing key? Or C, algorithm 257? Or D, CCL VII?
A, subject to Paul's objections, I'm sure.
Okay. Oh. A is correct. A is correct. It's a DNS zone key and secure entry point. And that's actually the literal meaning of having these two flags, bit, I think, 15 or 16 and bit 1 set. It means DNS zone key and secure entry point. Next one, 7. Which are valid DS algorithms? Yep, A, B, and C, A, B, C, and D, all of them. So 4 points if you have all of them. Subject to Paul Wouters' objection.
No, he's just wrong.
No, I'm just checking Ayana right now.
What if Ayana is wrong, Paul?
Ayana, per definition, is never wrong.
Oh, okay.
That's the whole point of Ayana.
Right, you should have filed an errata.
So, Roy, what if you have a few but not all of them? Do you get no points or some points?
No, you get if you have one, you get 1, 2, 3, 4, right? So if you have a subset, you get.
So Paul gets 2 points.
Yeah. Okay. 8. This is a trick question as well. When was the root KSK rollover? Was it in July 2010? Yeah. What is? Was it January 2012? C, has it never rolled? Or D, the KSK is rolled every 3 months. Now, D is wrong. We roll the ZSK every 3 months. C, it has never rolled is also not correct.
No, it's going to be A, right?
Yeah, B, yeah. January 2012 is not it, so it's A.
Yeah.
The DERS rolls to the current key.
There's a nuance. It's a key roll. There was a nuance there, right?
Sorry, guys. I need to get a one-up for the protocol geeks. So
this is the one that I debated with him last time and remembered my own rule for this, that the narrator wins. I don't agree that DERS was a key that was rolled, but Roy's right.
Thank you. Number nine, keep in mind, I had to copy the questions from earlier presentation. So number 9, what does the CD bit stand for in a DNS query? A, compact disk. B, checking disabled. C, a cryptographic device. Or D, change directory. B is correct. It's checking disabled. Number 10, what does KSK stand for? That would be A, a key signing key. Number 11, how many different root server addresses are there? I have no idea. So 11, how many root servers are there? 12, 13, 24, or 26?
D.
Oh, what did I say? Oh, sorry, root server addresses, yeah. Root server addresses are there. That's correct, C, 24. There are 13 IPv4 and 11 IPv6 addresses. The last one. I'm so glad this is going to be over in a few minutes. Which country code top level domain was the first to deploy DNSSEC? Hey, I already had that one, I think. Or not? No? Okay. Is it Puerto Rico? Is it Sweden, Denmark, or Germany? And the right answer is Sweden. That's correct. B. Okay. Please tally up all the points that you have. I'll give you a second. And when you're done, hand back the form to its original owner. So, and let's see who the winner is. Before we go into that, if you have interesting questions or just curiosities or trick questions, send them to me. I'm roy.arons@icann.org, and I will hopefully get them into a next presentation next time. So who has... Shall I walk backwards to be quicker? Okay, who has 17 points? I'm just saying a number. Who has 17 points? Anyone? Okay, let's do a binary search. Who has 13 points? Okay. Who has 15 points? Okay, and here it is. Proper binary search. Who has 14 points? Wow. 16 points. No, it's a binary search. Who had 14? Sorry. Who had 14 points? No one. Who had 13 points? Perfect. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 winners. We hopefully remember you next time. Thank you.
And that now brings us to our lunch break. So for everybody who's still here, you can go over to the lunch area. Julie, anything you want to say to us?
Yeah, actually, they're going to have to move a few chairs so that they have space to get the food in back there, because we put in extra chairs because we were getting kind of full. So just give them about 5 minutes while they, and the people in the back row buy the food, if you wouldn't mind moving, they'll move the chairs and get the food in place. So maybe about 5 minutes or so, and once you see the food, then we're ready to go. Thanks, everyone.
And then we'll be back here at 1:15, please. We'll start back up for the remainder of the sessions with our DNSSEC and applications. So look forward to talking to you all. We'll see you at 1:15. Oh, hey, I have one more thing. Is Vicky still here? Okay, Vicky from ISC has these DNSSEC for Bind quick reference guides that she's made up, that folks there made up. She'd love some feedback on them. So if you are a Bind user and you would like to check out this reference card she has that talks about DNSSEC for Bind, she would like to give you one of these and also get any feedback that you may have. So she's back there waving the card up there. Go see her. She has a bunch of these, and she'd like to get them out for feedback from folks. Thanks, all. See you in a bit.